And now, here comes Lucky 7 Samson.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
There's some guys that haven't been here through everything, and that don't have kind of the scars, and there's other guys that have. And, you know, I think the guys that, you know what we've been through the last couple years for myself, you know, they really appreciate, you know, this and the amount of effort and the amount of work that it takes to do this. And, you know, I think we're just scratching the surface. You know, I've talked about it all year, is that there's a process to this, and we're still, you know, going through that process, and we still have a lot to learn, but we're definitely taking some time to enjoy this for sure.
Those games, that particularly the last three, I think we just stayed calm and just kept our composure and didn't get too high or low. We were just that next shift mentality and just stay the course. And I talked a lot about that last year, and this year we just seem to bend and we don't break. We stay, you know, in it. And I give a credit to the players, though, to really dig down and find a way to win in different ways.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, only 13 and a half hours till faceoff.
Yeah,
we need a faceoff clock.
You don't have to tell me. I woke up thinking about this game tonight. I sure did.
Faceoff countdown clock. You know, like we have the draft tracker. Hey, the Flyers have goalie issues. That's good. So I'll take it.
Yeah, let me tell you, if this were a tank year, I'd be terrified tonight. Alex Lyon.
Yeah, right. He'll come out and be Keith Kincaid. I don't want to start going over.
No,
over
Keith Kincaid, yeah.
Anton, who's the Columbus guy?
Anton Forsberg.
Those are the two I remember the most.
Mackenzie Skapski.
Wait a minute. Mackenzie Skapski. Oilers? No.
Rangers.
Rangers. Who was the guy? Kincaid was the Devils?
Yes.
Didn't Nashville play somebody? It wasn't Pecorine. It wasn't. I thought Nashville played some guy we never.
I have no idea.
Before. Yeah, let's.
At that point, you might not have known who UC Soros was, right?
Maybe it wasn't. I don't even know who it would have been.
I don't know either.
Okay. Happy day before Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy day before Thanksgiving. Man, it's getaway day. You thought I mailed in shows before.
Oh, no, really?
You got a hockey game tonight.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my jersey because I'm excited. I'm going downtown.
Survivor.
I think I'm going downtown like 3 o'clock. I mean, Thanksgiving Survivor. You're picking the Bills.
Oh,
what else?
I forgot about
what else
that.
Is going on today? Anything? I mean,
we got good guests on today too.
Who? Even better. I can mail it in even more. Who?
Marty's on.
Perfect.
There's no Thursday show.
Although he wants to argue with me about NHL eligibility at 19 instead of 18. Okay. All right.
That's fine, because then I can take that segment off and do some other stuff.
I can make him kick somebody out of Thanksgiving Survivor, a tradition unlike any other.
Yeah. I wonder if. No, that's stupid. I was trying to think if, like, you know, French Canadians have a different slant on what they'd kick off the Thanksgiving.
Sure, right? Don't they eat
table.
Ham or something?
Do they?
I don't know.
For Thanksgiving?
Would you like to meet the field?
I think they have maple syrup on their turkey.
Well, every year I try to add a couple new pieces to the field. You know, some teams don't make it. Of course, there's academic violations and probations.
I'm just looking at you.
That can get people kicked out of this thing.
I already have my winner.
All right. Gobble. Here's your field for Thanksgiving Survivor for 2018. We will go through this and knock them out one by one and crown a Thanksgiving survivor.
What about Jim Harbaugh?
Turkey, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, corn, stuffing, cranberry sauce, beer, wine, liquor, family, friends, Jeff Skinner, Dallas, Washington, Detroit, Chicago, New Orleans, Atlanta.
Grouping that together, or is that three individual items?
All individual. Okay. Everybody's on their own.
Okay.
Turkey trot, politics, rolls, pie, yams, the night before, which is tonight,
mm-hmm.
holiday mode, because mm-hmm. when Thanksgiving hits, you turn into holiday mode.
Sure.
Leftovers, green beans, and salad.
Yeah, I got to go out pie shopping after the show today. They have entrusted me with the responsibility of picking the necessary pies.
Very good, very good. Federal Meats. You can get some pies at Federal Meats. Just saying.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I was just at Schmetterl Schmeets the other day on Sheridan Drive. So
yeah.
I'll drop your name next time I'm there.
Perfect. So, you know, we got some contestants in here.
So
I know
if I vote out Skinner is the first thing, you should. I'm just going to have to hand in my notice.
I just
right?
feel like you would be unpopular. I mean,
yeah, okay.
Jeff Skinner is new to the family.
Yes,
he's invited
he is.
To Thanksgiving.
Very nice.
I mean, what, am I going to not invite Jeff Skinner to Thanksgiving
yeah.
dinner? We got to, you know.
Make him feel welcome.
I thought about Rasmus Dahlin.
I thought you'd put Dahlin on the list.
He's already committed to at least three Thanksgivings.
Huh?
He's under contract.
Oh, the entry-level deal. Yeah. I thought, like, what other families is he hanging out with? I think he meant he's going to three other Thanksgiving dinners.
He's in the family. Jeff Skinner is trying out our family for Thanksgiving.
Right, because he might not be here next Thanksgiving.
Right.
I gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
So this might be his only shot to win Thanksgiving Survivor.
I feel like I'm going to have to vacuum and clean the house.
I mean, it's going
to
be exciting when you tell me whether or not you value Jeff Skinner or your family more. That's what this is going to come down to.
You know, honestly, I mean, I've had my wife been with me 20-plus years.
Yeah.
I've had Jonathan for 22.
What's
they're nice people. people. Don't get me wrong, right. But you know they've been around for a while.
Yeah, exactly. What's 1 year?
I know they'd boot me out.
I could have put Carter Hutton in here, but again, he's got three Thanksgivings with us for sure.
No Josh Allen.
No,
he's under contract.
I honestly thought about Josh Allen just because he's returning from injury, and that's a little bit of a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, same thing. He'll be around for a while.
It's a good thing you didn't put Kelvin Benjamin on the list.
Kelvin Benjamin is not on the list. I'd vote that turkey out right away.
I didn't even mean the turkey reference, but I just trying to think of things that are easy for me to vote out without getting anybody mad at me.
Everything that is a vegetable is in here for you to easily vote out.
I did think about it today. There's a lot of pressure that has evolved over the years. This has become a very pressure-packed day because, Twitter gets nasty during
Reputations are made and destroyed on a day like today.
Gee, you think?
On Thanksgiving
survivor. One time, 1 year, I forget mashed potatoes. Forgot. Didn't willingly leave it off the table. Forgot. And to this day.
Let's play the Ted Nolan game with that. What's more incredible? That Ted Nolan returned and coached the Buffalo Sabres.
Come on.
Or that Howard legitimately forgot mashed potatoes.
Okay. I'll take your Ted Nolan game and I'll see you.
Listen.
What's the Ted Nolan game? What's more crazy? The mashed potatoes or the peanut butter?
Mashed potatoes.
The mashed potatoes.
No way. Yep. Come on.
All right, that's a good Twitter
people
poll.
Haven't, I think it's the peanut butter. We forgot mashed potatoes. Look, it's not like there were no other sides on the table. We had stuffing. We had sweet potatoes. You know, we had two forms of starch on the table. We just forgot mashed potatoes. Come on. It's not like I'm sure there are plenty of families that have had a Thanksgiving meal at some point without mashed potatoes.
Right, but they would have chosen not to have mashed potatoes.
I forgot.
That's amazing. Like, if you had said, we don't like them.
Well, there's so many things.
That's weird on its own.
Look at all the stuff on the table, right? Look at all the different dishes that are on the Thanksgiving table and the things you're prepping. And you got the rolls, you got the veggies, you got the sweet potatoes, you got the stuffing, the turkey, the everything that's on the table. And you just realize, oh, crap, we forgot to make mashed potatoes. But there's so many other things. It's not like the meal was, you know, if you forgot the turkey, that would be kind of amazing.
I feel like that's on the level with mashed potatoes.
No, it is not on the level with mashed potatoes. Okay, no, sir. This is the hill I'm going to, I don't want
to
die.
The hill you're going to die on, yeah.
Okay, all right, this is the hill I'm going to die on. Mashed potatoes is not on the level with turkey.
Well, the biggest problem I have is I can't.
It isn't called Happy Mashed Potatoes Day. It's
also
Happy Turkey Day.
I mean, technically it's Thanksgiving Day. What about the vegetarians? For them, it might be mashed potato day. I can't fit forgot mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving into the box on the Twitter poll, so you might be off the hook.
Can you abbreviate it? FGT, forgot MPT, mashed potatoes on T-Day?
I mean, that's a lot of shortening. That's going
to
be tough.
Just trying to help.
Yeah, absent-minded
old guy forgot mashed potatoes?
Dave writes in from Syracuse that the CDC has voted off salad. That's right. You can't eat romaine lettuce
now. Well, you can have iceberg. You can't eat romaine. Little E. coli issues going on. Well, that would ruin Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So don't eat romaine lettuce. Hang on. I got to put this out here. What's crazier?
That you didn't have peanut butter until you were 53.
What's crazier, me forgetting mashed potatoes.
Josh writes in, it's like forgetting you have a son on his birthday to forget mashed potatoes. It really is one of the things that you will be remembered for forgetting mashed potatoes.
Among the many.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here to entertain. I'm glad I can make other people's lives happy when they realize what kind of a schmo I am.
So early favorites. I mean, turkey is a multi-winner, multi-time winner. I feel like beer has won before. Maybe wine has won before. Usually we have booze in here, but instead it's gone through a branding change. It's now liquor. It's not booze.
So liquor encompasses wine, did you say?
Wine is its own category.
Oh, I see. That's right. I'm looking at it right now. I have it in front of me. Okay. Liquor. Wow, there goes my vodka. There goes my cake vodka shots on Thanksgiving. I've not forgotten, by the way, that I have a son on his birthday. I just don't get him as much as I used to because he's had so many birthdays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we'll get to that a little bit later. You've met the candidates. We'll crown a winner later today.
Oh, it's definitely going to be Dallas and Washington.
Middle fat.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, Sabres tonight. That's exciting.
Yes.
Sabres and Flyers and Alex Lyon. Tell me about Alex Lyon. Do I spell it like Lyon, or is it L-Y-O-N?
L-Y-O-N.
Is it not Lyon?
L-Y-O-N.
Alex Lyon. Okay. Alex Lyon is from Baudette, Minnesota.
Oh, an American.
He played for the Yale Bulldogs.
Okay.
And he's a goaltender for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
Apparently he was He was in the league last year, got like 11 games for the Flyers.
Okay. Yes, he went 4-2-1 with a .905 save percentage and a .275 goals against average.
Okay.
His quality start percentage was 43%, which is bad.
Good. Well, let's hope it doesn't get any
that
better tonight.
That means that he's not given his team a chance to win as often as the league average is 53%.
Yeah.
And he's at 43. Granted, he's only played 11 games. So, hey, Alex, Lion.
Take the night off.
Right.
If you don't mind.
Have a bad night.
Nothing personal.
We got tens of thousands of people that would really enjoy it if you had a bad night.
Yeah. And I got a guy across the table from me who's just like praying they don't get shut out. So, Alex, don't have the game of your life this evening.
Anyway,
I'm sorry. I'm looking at all the Twitter responses
about peanut butter versus forgot
potatoes.
Thanksgiving.
Your Twitter poll is up, by the way. I posted a Twitter poll at WGR 550.
Ashley tweeted in, how in the world did you live that long without peanut butter?
I like Joe's answer. Joe Beamer from WBEN. Both are awful life choices on your part.
Seeing that, yes.
Yeah.
Brian Mazurowski, WBEN, peanut butter, not even close.
Yeah.
I'm with Brian. I think he's
hey,
right.
Hey, listen, this is like choosing between the 90s Cowboys and the 80s 49ers. Like, both of them are really incredible accomplishments. You've done some great work. Forgetting mashed potatoes is just amazing.
Just think what your life would have been like if you didn't work with me and how much I've made your life more entertaining.
Think about how much you wouldn't even know that these things that you've done are shameful. You'd have no idea.
Fair enough. I mean, it's not like my son, my mother-in-law, and my wife that day thought, hey, you idiot, where are the mashed potatoes?
That's on them.
Right? Nobody else.
That's the equivalent of saying Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be good here because there's not a lot of weapons. So I blame the team for that, too.
If your
family didn't call you out or they didn't notice, that's on them.
Okay, that's it. I'm throwing my wife under the bus. It's her fault. She's in charge of the meal.
Okay.
Thanksgiving Day, I step back. I mean, I normally finger quotes cook for the family. It's the same 5 to 7 meals every week. I just put different sauce on them. But Thanksgiving Day is her day. I sit back, I watch football, I get in my little nap, and she's in charge of the meal. At some point, she's got to say to me, hey, we forgot mashed potatoes. It's not me. It's her fault.
Yeah.
So as a good husband, I am now throwing my wife under the bus.
I think Mont writes in, when a kindergartner draws a plate of Thanksgiving dinner, it's turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and a blob of brown that's supposed to represent stuffing. Even kindergartners remember mashed potatoes. What year was this that you did this? I mean, was it extra stressful? Were the Bills just on your mind?
Probably.
Was it the Ryan Miller got hit by Scott Gomez year? It was a rough year for you. You were really tied up in that.
Was that pre-Thanksgiving?
I don't remember.
I thought it was post-Thanksgiving.
It probably
was. I feel
like
that was January.
But you could have still been thinking about it.
I could have been obsessing about, oh, God, I hope Ryan Miller doesn't get hurt. I'm not, just between you and me, I'm honestly now scared of like injuries. I woke up this morning, I come into work.
Yeah.
And Patrice Bergeron is out at least 4 weeks for the Bruins. They already lost to Dano Char. They lost Charlie McAvoy. And honestly, I started thinking, oh God, please no. Please, hockey gods, please no. We're in such a good place. They're playing well. They're winning. Everybody's happy. It's so exciting. People around the league are talking about the Sabres. Please, dear hockey gods, please, 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 take one of my kidneys first.
Okay. Do you want to rank the order of who would be the worst?
Oh, no,
to
no,
go?
No. I don't even want to have this discussion.
Don't you want to tell the hockey gods who to protect?
I feel like even having the discussion.
Worst would be Eichel.
And then Skinner.
Maybe Dahlin.
I'm going to go Skinner.
Okay. I might go Dahlin as number two. He might be number one.
I think I'd go Dahlin number
two. He might
two
be
as well.
Number one or number. He might be. Whatever. I think Dahlin number two. Hutton in there just because Allmark's been good, but behind that, I don't want to get into that routine.
Mm.
Hutton's been really good.
I'm uncomfortable even having the discussion. Even a point. I swear to God, I'm not like, what is it? I don't have like these.
Superstitious.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Boy, man, 56 and I'm forgetting stuff. I'm not superstitious for the most part when it comes to sports. I'm not one of those guys who wears the same favorite shirt if his team's on a winning streak, all these different things, sit in the same chair, shave, don't shave. I don't really do that, but there are times when I do get to the point where I get, and I feel like even talking about, I honestly thought about it, and then I thought maybe I shouldn't bring it up. And I'm thinking about now that I probably shouldn't have brought it up because even talking about it makes me nervous. Like, don't anybody, just please, everybody stay healthy. From my mouth to the hockey god's ears.
Yeah. It is one thing that has been a big deal, and it matters. You know, teams that don't go through man games lost tend to do better. It's during the regular season, you know, it's too early in the year to do this, but 60 games in, you'll see that the teams that are near the top are the healthiest. Last year, I think Washington was the healthiest team in the league, and they ran away. Maybe they didn't run away with it last year. Maybe that was 2 years ago. But it makes a huge difference.
Yeah,
so
it's like the Jaguars in football. Though that's a 53-man roster, not a 23-man roster, but they were really healthy, and they had a great defense. And, you know, it's rare that you go that far into a football season without losing anybody.
Yeah. So, and they're in town this weekend, and I'm excited for that game, too. I'm just ready for the whole weekend. The Sabres play twice. You've got Ohio State, Michigan, right, which is...
Sabres play three times, if you include tonight.
Okay, yeah.
Because they play Friday at home and then Saturday in Detroit.
Okay.
Road trip.
I forgot about Saturday. Three Sabres games, a Bills game with Josh Allen returning to the lineup, Ohio State, Michigan.
Got UB clinching the MAC East on Friday because I'm confident they'll win at Bowling Green.
Good.
You do have Ohio State, Michigan, so there's... a lot of good stuff going on this weekend. Yeah, yep. These next few days. And, of course, Tiger Phil pay-per-view on Friday.
I'm
not going to buy it.
I'm eager to see the numbers for that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get a lot of buys.
I just don't know. It's Friday at 3 o'clock?
Is it at 3? Okay, because it's in Vegas. Right, so it's got to be...
Yeah, a Friday afternoon sit around and watch golf? I mean... Yeah.
It's an odd spot to put it.
It'd be an odd spot if it were free.
Plus, $19.99.
Oh, it's $20. I thought it was $30. Whatever.
Oh, I got to look it up. I don't remember anything above $9.99.
To sit home on the afternoon of Black Friday. Maybe they think that the family that goes out shopping will do that, and then the rest of everybody will stay home and watch the golf. I mean, we've got a Sabres game at 4 o'clock.
Well,
on
that's
Friday.
The thing, right? I mean, like here we are talking about how one of the most historic games in NFL history. A lot of people in Buffalo didn't see it because we were watching the Sabres game, or at least missed half of Rams-Chiefs because we weren't turning off the Sabres. I'm not going to go spend money to watch Tiger versus Phil if I got the Sabres playing at 4 o'clock against the Canadiens. I wouldn't, even if the Sabres weren't playing, I don't think I would have spent the money to watch these guys. And there's no crowd either, too. You want to make it more fun, maybe have spectators at it. It's just these two guys with no fans.
And, I mean, the other thing is, hey, it's super relatable to watch these two bet $200,000 on the first hole.
On a birdie. Yeah, on whether Phil birdies, I think, the first hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought
it was a good idea when they first mentioned it, but I'm not going to spend
it. It's also 10 years too late.
Right. They're at the end of their careers. Maybe they get a little boost because of Tiger's comeback and how he looked. Like he won a tournament. It wasn't just Tiger hanging on. He was very competitive. So maybe that helps but for a few buys, but it's an odd spot to do it. You know, I don't know where you put it in this time of year. Sunday is NFL, Saturday is college. Day after Thanksgiving is just, it's a weird place.
And, you know, I don't mean to totally trash it. It might be really fun to watch. If you get their personality to come out, which, you know, for Tiger, that's not always something that happens.
Right.
So I don't want to say I'm not interested at all. It's just the timing and the $20. I'm sorry, no thanks.
Yeah.
The side bets will be fun. Any sort of atmosphere like that. You know, you get the first hole bet they're doing to try and drum up interest and like, oh, this might be interesting to watch. And I understand that. I just don't think it was handled well with being a pay-per-view.
It's $19.99.
$19.99. Yeah, I got $20 to spend on something else.
I think they should have, they could have topped out at like $9.99. You got to keep it under like double-digit price. You know, $10 or more seems like, what am I going to do this for?
Sure, right.
$9.99, I might actually, or maybe, you know, make it the price of a movie. You know, you're back up to 20 bucks. No. You know, like the $5.99 movies you rent at home, like on demand, you want to buy a movie at home off of your dish or your cable box. It's what, $5, $6, and they add it onto your cable bill. Like, do that. Make it like you're buying a movie.
Make it for charity.
Even better.
Make every single dollar go to the campfire in California. Make it all go to whatever.
Yeah, right. There are plenty of things you can.
There are lots of things you could donate to.
Yeah, you wouldn't run out of.
And to watch these guys, they're playing for how much?
Oh, how many millions of dollars?
Right, exactly. I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit tough. So hey, good luck to them. I'm not all that concerned about it. I'm more interested. I mean, the Sabres play at 4 o'clock on Friday, and that's a dream come true.
Yeah. Sabres need to win just a few more games before they get to that San Jose stretch.
Just don't get shut out tonight. You know, I said that yesterday.
$9 million purse, by the way.
$9 million
purse. You can't get shot out by a guy who's up from Lehigh Valley.
No, in theory, you can't. Right?
They'll be okay. They'll feed off the crowd because you'll be up there whooping and hollering and leading your section in cheers.
It's not me.
I know it's not you.
But
just
I'll be cheering goals, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you've been able to cheer goals.
Yeah.
Hey, and that's the of the many things, we didn't bring this up yesterday because they just came off a road trip, but of the many things that are, you know, more fun about this team this year, different about this team this year, is guess what? Winning home games. You know, they're 4-0-1 in their last five home games. They've played some entertaining games. They've scored some goals at home. Last year, they lost a lot of home games and scored one or two goals. And now they're topping that. They're, you know, they're much more entertaining in terms of the crowd that sees them at the KeyBank Center. That's one of the many things to like about this team. So I'm looking forward to I am very much. I'm not going. You are. I'm very much looking forward to tonight because I want to see the reaction of the crowd. I want to see, as I said, I don't think it's too much to give them, like, a huge ovation when they come on the ice before the game because of what the first 21 games have played out as and how much more fun it is to watch this team play hockey and the fact that we're sitting here talking about a team that's, or at least fourth. They were fourth. It was only one game last night, right? They're probably still fourth in the NHL standings to me. And I think the guys will play, you know, maybe they will feed off that. Maybe they'll be more relaxed at home because last year they might have felt the pressure because they'd come out and lay an egg at home all the time and the fans would boo them off the ice at the intermission because they were so bad. Things have changed, and I feel like they'll feed off that tonight. And it's the Flyers. Everybody hates the Flyers.
Might be some Flyer fans in the building.
Well,
they usually get a decent number, but not too many.
Not like the Canadians or the Maple Leafs or some of the other teams that come in through here. Penguins, Blackhawks.
Right. The front-running teams that your 8-year-old has decided that they like for
the
5 years.
Yeah, the Canadians are the teams that have won multiple cups in the NHL in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready for it. I can't wait. I woke up thinking about it, went to bed thinking about this game. It's just, I've been... Yeah, you know, each and every game so far in the arena, the juice has been coming back.
Yeah.
The Saturday game against Vancouver was as much fun as I've had in a long time. And that was a game they trailed, and, you know, Jack Eichel missed half of it. Everybody was nervous for half of it.
And Reinhart missed a little time.
Yeah, exactly. So this one, in theory, full lineup, playing against the Flyers, who are not that good, with their third-string goaltender in.
Come on.
Give me one of those. Give me that Ottawa 9-2 game.
You can't ruin the Thanksgiving holiday
give
is what this gets down to.
A party. Have everybody at Thanksgiving dinner talking about the Sabres.
Well, think about two of the home games so far. You brought up the nine goals against Ottawa, and I went to I bought your Vegas game from you. That was a blast.
Yeah.
You're scoring goals. Boom. First period, we're looking at each other going, what the heck is going on out there? People had a great time in the arena that day. They were doing the 1, 2, 3, 4, can we have 5 chant. It was a lot of fun. And I think, you know, again, win tonight, we'll deal with Friday. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow. You want to wake up feeling in a really great mood because the Sabres have won 7 straight hockey games. So, boys, come out and play hard tonight. We will talk Sabres hockey with you this morning. I like Joe's topic last night. I was thinking of maybe stealing it, at least giving him credit, not plagiarizing. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday. You know, the many things that are now back on the table with the Sabres winning. Like, what's the biggest thing? You're paying more attention to the out-of-town scores. Like, Joe tweeted line combos. You're actually, like, you can get upset about line combos. Why isn't this guy playing? Why is that guy? What are some of the things that have come back with the Sabres winning that are now back for you again as a Sabre fan, as a hockey fan? We can talk about that. Of course, the Bills are going to play the Jaguars. We can talk a little bit about football with you today. Got a tweet about the whole peanut butter versus mashed potatoes thing. This person tweeted in, what's worse? Peanut butter. It makes me feel like you were never a child. Instead, you were built by your parents as a 55-year-old like some create-your-own-adult-child craft kit. Thank you very much.
That's pretty good.
That's a really good tweet.
When we get back, can we talk about the NFL? I want to talk about the story from the Monday night game that this is the new NFL, and you've got some fans and some observers that are frustrated by it, that want more balance to the game. Listen to Peter King with John Murphy and Steve Tasker yesterday on One Bills Live. I thought Peter King it was interesting to listen to him talk about it, about the NFL going in this direction, and I want to say I agree on some stuff and disagree on others.
Before we get to break, 803-0550 to join us on the show today. Hey, since we're not on the air tomorrow, the media mogul is coming on with us today. Martin Brodeur coming up at 7:30. Sal with the latest on the Bills. They'll be back practicing today. He's going to join us at 8. Paul Hamilton will be covering tonight's Sabres game. He'll be with us at 9. And then we hope your phone calls throughout the course of the day. And, of course, Thanksgiving Survivor. Also, find some time to take advantage of Hoagie Hump Day. All you need to do at some point today is tweet us at WGR550. When you tweet us, use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. If you do that, you're in the running to win a $25 gift certificate to Jim's Steakhouse. That's all you got to do. Tweet the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day at WGR550.
The imagination on offense in so many of these places is totally, absolutely off the charts. But you add to that imagination that all the rules are to their advantage as well. So I just think right now that I'm not saying all the brain power. There's an awful lot of brain power on offense, and the NFL has set up the rules to favor the offense consistently.
That is Peter King from One Bills Live yesterday. We're going to get to those comments in just a minute. Happy day before Thanksgiving. Happy Sabres Flyers game day. Happy amateur night. I think that's what they call it, amateur night. Everybody back in town. There's snow on the ground. It's a little bit icy. You might have to deal with some, I don't know about ice on the roads, but like ice in your driveway could be an issue today if you're waking up. Sabres play at 7:30. They've won six in a row, looking for seven. Last time they did that, the President's Trophy year. By the way, all six wins by one goal. Marco Scandella, a lower body injury. Game time decision. Looks like that super secret Sabres guy was right again, huh? Not feared serious, no break.
If only we knew who he was.
If only I didn't make that guy up. Flyers goaltender Alex Lyon is up from the AHL. He'll play tonight for the Flyers. They've got some injuries. The Oilers fire Todd McClellan, and Ken Hitchcock comes in as their new coach. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to be hard on them.
He's going to change the culture.
Yeah, right.
Hey, they won last night, so it's working.
Indeed. Patrice Bergeron out at least 4 weeks with an upper body injury. The Bears cautiously optimistic about Mitchell Trubisky, but it could be Chase Daniel playing on Thanksgiving Day against the Lions. Tampa places O.J. Howard on IR. Ryan Tannehill will start against Indianapolis. College football top four is the same. Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan. Notre Dame is on the doorstep. Just win one more and you're good to go. They don't have a conference championship game.
Yeah, who would it?
So
SC? I'm trying to think who their last. They haven't played SC yet this season, right?
That's probably
I think
right.
They play SC.
Yeah. College basketball, Bama lost to Boise State 72-52 in the Cayman Islands Classic. Those are your headlines.
Headlines brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing.
So quick question for you about the future of the NFL. You know, we talked a lot about the Sabres yesterday because, you know, obvious reasons. But they also had... We also could have talked about the game of the century, that Chiefs-Rams game. Maybe you stayed up and watched it because the Sabres game ended and you were all jacked up and you wanted to watch that.
That's me.
That's you.
Yeah.
A game that you might normally not see because it's on late.
Wouldn't have watched the game if it wasn't Rams-Chiefs. I would have watched the Sabres game, got my work done, gone to bed.
So Peter King in that soundbite that we just played talks about the rules changes. And I just want to say, I think the rules changes are overestimated on what's happened. You're not seeing 54-51 because of rules changes. You're seeing 54-51 because teams have figured out passing is better. Passing is more efficient. It has been forever. Passing is more efficient. You can score more points. Teams have realized that you don't need balance. That teams sometimes want balance because, you know, you can do a couple different things. But you do not need balance. You don't need things that you previously maybe thought you needed, like a road-grading offensive line and a bell cow running back. These are things that have kind of been left behind. And what the Chiefs are doing it with, and the Rams too, they're not doing it with rules changes. They're doing it with spread offenses and concepts and getting scheming players open in position to make plays on the run. I'm not saying the rules changes have no effect because I know that they do, right? You can't hit the quarterback in certain ways and the burping penalties. But it is not the rules that has pushed scores way up. It is the offensive explosion. And he mentions the brain power on offense. All that Sean McVay has done on like the smaller level is realize that running the football into crowded boxes is stupid. Very stupid. Mm-hmm. So he does the opposite of that, and they run it well, and they throw it, and they get a bunch of weapons, and he has an imaginative offense that is not the result of a rule change.
Well, the rules changes, for the most part, really, the rules changes have been in place. I mean, the rules changes about, you know, where you can hit the quarterback have been in place for a while. The, you know, defensive holding, pass interference, all this stuff. The new rules changes for this year, I think, really, it's been an evolution of rules changes over the years that have made it more of a pass-happy league and have helped that portion of the game. The rules changes this year were the targeting. You know, the helmet.
You can't crush a receiver.
Yeah. Although not even, you know, well, that was, well, you couldn't hit a defenseless receiver, but they put in the new targeting rule this year. Other than that, the new other new rules were clarifying the catch and the kickoff formations. So the explosion this year, and they're still on pace, I'm pretty sure through last week, for sure during the Monday night game, they're still on pace for league highs for points, passing yards, completion percentage, touchdowns. That has, I don't think, that's a byproduct of this year's rule changes. The league's been changing for years. How many years have we talked about how it's a passing league? They've done everything to hurt the defense, to help the passing offense. Why do teams go so crazy with quarterbacks? Why do you get a guy like Tyrod Taylor and then try and give him $90 million, you know, to stay potentially? Because once you get a quarterback you think is your guy, you don't let him go. You have to have the quarterback to win in this league. Why did Brandon Bean do everything in his power to get draft picks and move up to get a guy he wanted in the draft? Because you have to have a guy in this passing league to win. No offense to LeSean McCoy. So the rules changes have been in place for the most part for years in the league. It's just now you add in Andy Reid and what he's done. Andy Reid was the same coach, but guess what? He got a lot better at quarterback from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes, right?
But even with Alex Smith last year, Smith had his best year in Kansas City.
But he wasn't hitting the numbers that Mahomes is hitting.
Well, he wasn't. But he was hitting great numbers. I mean, Tyreek Hill has 10 70-yard touchdowns since 2016. You know, like, you've got offenses that have exploded, and I don't know about Bills fans if they get depressed because you're at the other end of the spectrum, but, you know, all right, let's talk about the blueprint to win in the NFL right now. I think it's two things. You need a bright offensive mind and a quarterback that can run it. That's what the good teams have. No matter
you
who
mean you run the offense, not
right,
run the
right,
ball.
Right. No matter who you have, those are the good teams, right? If you are the Saints, you have a bright offensive mind and a quarterback that can run the offense. Right down to the Colts. If you're a good team, you've got that. And if you don't have that, who's the best team that doesn't have that? Who is it? I mean, are the Texans? I mean, Deshaun Watson's had great success throwing the football. Had 19 touchdowns in six games last year. Bright offensive mind, yeah, and a quarterback that can make it happen. And everything else falls in around that. And the Bills, you know, we'll see if they have either one of those things.
I think the Chiefs are an interesting test case because their defense is bad. And, I mean, they give up yardage. They give up points. You know, sure, Monday night, neither defense looked good Monday night. I mean, the Rams were giving up yardage and points, too. But I think Kansas City will be an interesting test of, can that formula work come playoff time when you face better football teams? Can they win playoff games if they have to 35-31 every week? Because they do give up a ton of points. The thing is, they can outscore you, easily outscore
yes.
you.
And they don't,
I wonder if that works.
Meanwhile, you've got guys like, all due respect, Doug Marrone, whatever, due respect. He's probably shocked that 16 didn't win last week. 16.
Right.
Right? He's playing conservative, thinking I'm going to trust my defense to hold a 16-point lead. So if you are someone that wants scoring to come down, you're basically saying you'd like rules put back in to put a governor on offenses. We have a text, one suggestion how to do that.
To bring scoring down?
Yes, yes. Texter writes in, have Gary Bettman take over.
I was going to ask, why would somebody be unhappy with the state of the game?
Because they want balance.
Okay, you can still have good defense.
Yes.
I mean, the average has gone up. I think the average points per scored, excuse me, average points scored per game has gone up to, what is it now? It's 24. I think teams are averaging like 24. It used to be 21. So it has gone up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still have a successful defense. You can still have a game. Look, the Bills can still come out and make Tom Brady look ordinary.
And lose.
Yeah, because they have a. But why they lose?
Because
they don't have an offense. But you can still have a defense that can come out and play well. And
yeah,
they did in that game.
And what's it worth?
Well, if you don't have an offense, it's worth squat because Kansas City is 9-2 with one of the worst defenses in the league.
Exactly. And what's it worth to have an offense without a defense? A lot. It just plays better.
That's why I think the Chiefs are a very interesting test case because, again, I was always brought up to believe that points are entertaining, but when all said and done, to win a championship, you better be able to stop the other team. And Kansas City can't do that, but they're 9-2. So I think it's going to be great to see them. Can they get to the Super Bowl with this formula?
I mean, can the Rams stop anybody?
The Rams' defense is a little better than Kansas City. They didn't look that way Monday night.
Their
but I
one
think it's
loss
a little
came
better.
To?
New Orleans.
The Saints. They gave up 48 points. They gave up 51 in a win against Kansas City. Can the Saints' defense stop anybody? No.
I mean, I'm trying to think some of their better performances defensively this season.
Are probably giving up 30. Got a bunch of texts on this. I do like this topic. Jeff writes in, I disagree. The rules changes help passing covers. Corners can't cover without flags.
Yeah, but those were done years ago.
I agree. Like, I'm not saying that the rule changes are of no effect. I'm just not ready to say that's why offenses. It is about it's about these coaches, these smarter coaches, figuring out something as simple as, hold on a second, we average 4.5 yards per run and 6.8 yards per pass. We should be passing more.
The only thing
it's as simple as that.
The only thing I would say about the rules changes that might be different is I thought I saw a stat a couple of weeks ago that they might be cracking down. They're in one of those modes again where we might be seeing more illegal contact calls. Penalty's been on the books, but they might actually be calling it more often and looking for it more often this season. So, but again, you know, the stuff that's happened with the defense, how many years have we talked about? I know we've brought it up. I feel bad at times for the defense because the rules have been changed to promote offense, and the rules have been changed to promote passing yards and points. And if you play defense and you're trying to cover receivers and tight ends and backs in this league, it's really difficult. And every time you touch a guy, it's an automatic first down. So they've done it by design. It's not new. It's been in the books for years, which is why you've seen a gradual shift in run-pass balance over the years in the NFL to more passes and less runs, and why scoring has gone up, because this has been in the works for a while now. It's not new. I honestly, to me, the thing I would find interesting, Jeremy, is Connor Orr had a piece about this at SI.com, and he said, essentially, okay, the Rams and the Chiefs broke football Monday night. What's next? How does the league react? What do GMs and do owners, like his point is, owners watch that game and go, I want to be like that. And how do GMs and scouts react now? Does this change draft strategy? Does it change the way you build a roster? Does the owner go to them and say, I don't care what it takes, you get me those receivers, you find the quarterback, we need to do that?
Who's the last team to have, people used to say they broke their sport?
I know you have an answer, and I'm trying to think who it's supposed to be.
They changed.
Oh, the Golden State Warriors.
And what happened?
Now teams are trying to score like the Golden State Warriors.
Everybody shoots
You load
threes.
Up your teams, you shoot your threes,
the
you
Warriors
try and score points.
Beat the Cavs, and then the next year when they met in the finals,
the Cavs were tons of threes.
They attempted more threes that year than the Warriors did.
Yeah.
The Warriors didn't. There was no rule change. They just realized
this is what we're going to do.
They're worth more from out here.
Right.
Let's shoot the ones that are worth more.
Right.
Because based on the percentages, we'll score more points.
So other teams decided to follow.
And the entire league has become a bomb league from three. Because they realized, I mean, is it exploiting or is it just finally realizing, oh yeah, we should have been shooting a lot more threes.
Right.
Let's vote out some food and stuff, right? Want to do that real quick before
the
break?
List in front of me, sure.
All right. Thanksgiving Survivor 2018. I got a tweet from Joe who wrote in that Thanksgiving Survivor is one more reason for him not to listen, to which I said, oh, he already had other reasons. So.
Okay. Well, at least he has multiple.
Exactly. You already got reasons. Your contestants will each vote one out. Turkey, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, corn, stuffing, cranberry sauce, beer, wine, liquor, family, friends, Jeff Skinner. Each of the three football games. Turkey trot. I do miss Jim Harbaugh saying jive turkey gobble.
It's in there.
Right? I know.
Yeah, right?
Politics, rolls, pie, yams. The night before, holiday mode, leftovers, green beans, and salad. Gentlemen, make your votes.
I don't want to go first. There's too much pressure.
I'll go first. I came to play today. I came to play.
You're voting out turkey in round one?
Oh, yes.
Come on!
I had turkey yesterday.
So?
It's out. I don't care.
That's rather selfish.
I came to play.
I had turkey last year. I'm not voting it out. I'm going home. I'm taking my headphones and I'm going home.
The Patriots get knocked out in the first round because they're not the same anymore. And now everybody, who's going to win it? I'm going turkey. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I got to tell you. I have no energy to do the rest of the show.
Well, hey, suck it up. Eat some green beans. Vote them out.
That's actually what I was going to vote out.
Vote them out, too.
And we have green beans. I've got them. I went out and bought green beans for the Thanksgiving table. You voted out turkey. What the heck are we eating for the meal?
I mean,
was the stuffing inside the turkey that you
technically
voted out?
Only one thing survived, so you were either going to eat turkey and not drink any beer, or not hang out with your family. I mean, it's not a one
thing.
When
Jeff Skinner comes over to the house and there's no turkey, he's going to sign elsewhere now.
If Jeff Skinner makes it through, there wasn't going to be turkey anyway.
Well,
that's the whole point.
But it could have been, I could have said to him at the door, hey, look, Jeff, it came down to you or turkey. You won. Come on in.
All right, no turkey.
Wow, first thing out. Man, you're killing me. I don't know.
It's a deeply flawed.
I can't be that bold.
Just why not? I mean, it's won multiple times and it's boring. Out. See ya.
Wow. Well, I mean, we do have leftover chicken.
Hey, seriously, on Survivor, what do they do? You identify a strong candidate and you vote them out.
I mean, I have turkey sandwich meat. I guess we could have turkey sandwiches.
You can't have turkey sandwiches if there's no turkey.
Oh, I know what I'm voting out. The heck with green beans. Keep that. Politics. I don't want politics on my Thanksgiving. I didn't even see you put that in.
I did put it in there
politics. Oh, my God.
It will definitely be a part of some Thanksgivings out there.
That'll make things really nasty, so goodbye.
And I'm going to do everyone else a favor, and I'm going to eliminate cranberry sauce. It's been a heated discussion of, is cranberry sauce good or is it terrible? I'm on the side of it is terrible. Mm. No cranberry sauce is good ever, so
are
I'm
you,
getting rid of
you
it.
You are against both the canned version and the one with like the sticks in it?
Any of them. I don't care which one it is. It's all terrible.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you, man. I had to buy it because my wife told me to get it. I bought the old can of jellied cranberry, whatever. It's not even on the table as far as I'm concerned. Yuck.
All right.
Wow, you voted
first
out
round.
Turkey. All right, I'm going instant reaction on Twitter for every round this year.
A texter writes in, play hardball, Howard. Vote out Skinner.
No, I am not. Oh, what, are we going to get into negotiations now? All right, I'll tell you. Oh, this is like, all right, that's it. I'm voting off Skinner if you don't bring back turkey. No, I'm not going to do that.
You aren't going to scare me.
Skinner?
Turkey's
Skinner versus
out.
Turkey. What would you do? You'd vote out turkey, of course.
I just had Skinner versus turkey.
Well, you did it just to be controversial this morning.
I did it for a good show. It's time to get turkey out of here.
Wow. I'm speechless. All right. Day's ruined. Now the Sabres better win tonight. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 on WGR.
They're a tight group. You know, they talk a lot after each shift, and they're just the reliable. You get three centermen, if you want to look at it that way. Even Zemgus can take draws. He's been really good. Their dependability and their reliability says a lot. You know, they don't get a lot of offensive zone starts. They're starting mainly in the defensive zone, but they're doing the little things, the detailed things, and it's helping them as they move forward. And when they get the offensive zone, they might not get the looks as other lines get, but they're certainly wearing down other teams' defenses and making them spend a lot of energy in that area.
Well, quick thing on Phil Housley, who we talked to yesterday. How about him saying the word analytics during the conversation?
Yeah.
Talking about our analytics on the third period. They go back in and they look at their numbers. Mm-hmm. And here he is talking about zone starts, all that stuff. So I think it's kind
of
cool.
And maybe that's part of the...
Not a surprise. It's just kind of cool that he's freely just kind of bringing it up.
Maybe that's part of one of the other things he talked about, how we can't keep doing this to our goalies. You know, maybe he's looking at some of the analytics and realizing, you know, some of the numbers just don't add up to what you're asking the goaltenders to do. He was talking about the Gergensons, the fourth line, Gergensons, Sobotka, and Larson. Brayton's got a story up about that at WGR550.com. Also, before we get to calls, at our website, Derek Kramer's got a good piece up with a breakdown of what's going on in the Atlantic Division right now. The Sabres are in the best division in hockey at this point. 5 of the top 10 teams in the NHL standings are in the Atlantic Division, and the Sabres are in that group. Sal's got an article up about the Bills. The season's now all about Josh Allen. We'll talk about that at 8 o'clock with Mr. Capaccio. So that's all available for you at WGR550.com.
Have you gone to TreyWhiteGoalieAcademy.com?
I saw the videos he's been tweeting out about this.
Mm-hmm.
And was he tweeting one of the games on the road trip? He was tweeting out while Hutton was standing on his head.
Yeah. He called
taking credit for it, I
think. He called him Sutton, by the way.
Oh, did he? Yeah, whatever.
And,
Sutton,
but now Hutton. He's making fun of himself for calling him Sutton. Anyway, TreyWhiteGoalieAcademy.com.
Yeah. I'm going to sign up.
You should go to that website.
Oh, I did. I haven't been to the website. I've been seeing the video clips they've been tweeting out.
Tre'Davious White tweeted out, you know, they've won 6 straight since I started working with Carter Hutton, since Carter Hutton joined the Trey White Goalie Academy. I won't spoil it for you. Go to the website, TreyWhiteGoalieAcademy.com.
Does it list all the famous alumni that have come through the academy at this point and how many have won cups or Conn Smythe trophies?
Nope.
No, okay.
But it does take you somewhere. And it's a nice little play by Trey White.
Good, because sometimes you tell me not to go to certain websites and warn me about things. I'm glad this is not one of those. Let's get to Tony here on WGR. Go ahead, Tony.
Good morning, guys. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving with or without turkey tomorrow. But I wanted to touch on the analytics point, Jeremy, you were mentioning. You know, back in the day, Woody Hayes, Ohio State coach, his analytics on passing were, there are two things. There are three things that could happen on a pass, and two of them are bad: an incompletion and an interception. And obviously, that's changed over the years. But I just wanted to throw in there that in addition to analytics, the rule changes on defenseless receivers, and it's just had a huge impact. There was a play in the fourth quarter of the game the other night. Tyreek Hill made a great catch on a play along the sidelines. He was twisting. The defender came over, tried for the ball. Back in the day, that defender would have hit Tyreek Hill in the ribs, in the legs, in the head somewhere, and Tyreek Hill probably would have been out for multiple weeks. So it's just the difference of the game. And over the weekend, Corey Graham got a penalty for...
Yeah, I saw that.
Were you watching the Steelers-Jaguars? Because I don't think the Steelers come back without maybe back-to-back personal fouls on the Jaguars at one point. They got one for a hit on Roethlisberger and another one for a lowering the shoulder. So I do agree. I mean, drives are getting sustained by some of this stuff, and it is changing the way the game is played. I'm not saying that the rules have no effect. I guess I feel like it's being overblown a little bit, but it's definitely there.
But, Tony, even though, you know, like you point out, right, I saw the Corey Graham play, and I didn't think it was a penalty, but the rules, even the defenseless receiver, I mean, it's been in play for years. So I think it's part of what has been an overall shift towards making life more difficult on defense, but that's not new. That's not just all of a sudden in 2018 it happened.
No, I agree. You see defenders more often now, and not every play, obviously, but more often defenders are in a situation like that DB was in the other day where he just doesn't know, you know, they don't know how to play it.
You put defenses in a tough spot. And the question is, will it continue to go this way? Will the NFL have arena league scores going forward? I do think, you know, our defense is going to catch up. Maybe. it's
You know, Howard, you'll remember a game back in the day, the AFC Championship game, Broncos versus Bills, 10-7. Mm-hmm. The greatest games I've ever seen in my life. And there wasn't a lot of scoring, but there was intensity. There was drama. I mean, of course, it was a championship game, which added to that. But, you know, those games, while you don't want to see them every single game, they're still very, very appealing to me. And hopefully there's still some of those games along the way.
Yeah, but I think...
Hey, you might get one on Sunday for the Bills, Bills and Jaguars.
Yes, I think it'll be low scoring. But I think what it's done, Tony, to wrap it up... Oh, it's the top of the hour already. I'm really sorry, Brayton. I owe you on this one. I'll give you $5.
Give him an extra vote in Thanksgiving Survivor.
Gladly. You can have my next vote. It's like trading future draft picks, right?
Right.
You can have my second round vote for a first round pick next year in Thanksgiving Survivor. I think defenders have to think. And maybe they're thinking so much they're not reacting because they're worried about hit zone and whether is the receiver going to be considered defenseless? Is he going to, you know, fold down? I'm going to get hit. I'm going to hit him in the helmet. There was a play the other day. I forget which game, doesn't even matter. The defensive player was called for the helmet-to-helmet, and yet it was the offensive player who initiated it. I think defenders do have a legitimate beef. It's become very difficult to play the position for the most part in the passing game. But again, that's not something that was new in 2018. This is a gradual process that has led to more offense over the years, and maybe now with Sean McVay for the last couple of years in L.A., and Mahomes now opening up the Chiefs' offense. Breeze has been scoring points forever. That stuff's been there for a while. It's just not new. I just don't understand why Peter King would say, hey, this is really new. No, this has been happening for years. You want headlines, Brayton, since we kind of obliterated the break? Sabres are home tonight for the Flyers. It is a 7:30 faceoff. NBCSN, if you're looking for it on television, you want to hear the Sabres call. Of course, we have it right here on WGR. The Sabres have won 6 straight. Marco Scandella is a game-time decision, lower body injury. The Flyers... both their regular goalies are out. No Elliott, no Neuwirth. So Alex Lyon has been called up from the American Hockey League and expected to get the start tonight. The Oilers fired Todd McClellan. Ken Hitchcock is their new coach. More bad injury news for the Bruins, who've been racked by injuries on defense now. One of their better forwards is out. Patrice Bergeron, at least 4 weeks, upper body. Football news, Preston Brown goes on IR in Cincinnati. Ryan Tannehill will start for the Dolphins against the Colts Sunday. Same top four in the CFP. Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, Syracuse is 20th. Bama lost to Boise State yesterday in the Cayman Islands Classic. Those are your headlines on WGR Buffalo.